Today's scripture reading will be 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 32 to 34. Again, today's scripture reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 32 to 34. I will be reading from the King James Version. The Bible says, "But I would have you without carefulness. He that is married careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband."
What a blessing it is to be part of a great work, a great people who are striving to do that which is right, even though it's tough at times. So thankful for our young James who came forward and read the scriptures. We're thankful for a congregation here that is developing young men and who are not afraid to develop themselves. I do want to say from the onset that I'm humbled just to be able to preach. The older I get, the more I study God's word, I realize it's a great honor. And it takes a great precision to be able to do something so mighty as preach the word because of the purity of it. And I know many, and we're probably pretty frustrated with some because they don't take God's word seriously. They're kind of flippant with it. But the more I study, I realize that God wants us to be just like his son. And when we stop and we consider that, but when we consider the word of God, we consider the blessings of this life and what we're really here to do, and that's to honor God, please God, and to do his will. And so we're thankful for this great group that has assembled here. Thankful for you who are visiting with us. We hope, pray, and trust that your life is going according to the will of God. And if not, then let us help you. Let us help you do that so you can hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many." So that's what life is about. So we hope, pray, and trust that some of the things that we say this morning will be beneficial. And even though it may not apply to all of us, it is something that all of us can glean from. This morning, I want us to speak for a few minutes on the subject, righteousness in singlehood. Last week, as we are continuing our theme, arising out of sleep and awake to righteousness, we talked about righteousness in marriage. And today I want us to talk about being single. And when we consider this, there are many reasons why Christians find themselves in single positions in life. Well, you're probably thinking, well, I'm married, I'm not single, so already this doesn't apply to me. Well, we'll have some things to say about that, because you can be married today and single today. And that's a sobering thought. And the more that I considered these thoughts on this morning, the more I thought about how brief and precious life is and how God desires for us to be focused upon him. The book of 1 Corinthians, especially chapter 7, is a very mighty book, powerful book. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ — the word apostle literally means one sent. He was sent by Jesus Christ to preach the gospel, to preach the word, to establish congregations of the Lord's people. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. The very fact that he was inspired means that he was moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the one that was guiding him to write, guiding him to speak. And the Bible says no uncertain terms about being single. The Bible does not leave that particular subject out. As we talked about on last week, as relates to being married, the Bible speaks about those who are single. And the Apostle Paul, when he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 37, if anyone is considered himself to be a prophet or a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things in which I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So the Apostle Paul is writing these things, and friends, make no mistake about it, he knew what he was talking about, not just because he was an apostle of Jesus Christ, but because he was single himself, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. So as Paul is inspired and he is talking to the Christians here who are single, he has much to say to the unmarried. And as our dear brother James read in our hearing in a very eloquent way, we notice, for emphasis sake, let's turn our Bibles there. Let's look at some things. Now concerning virgins, he's talking about those who are single, unmarried. Now, the context bears more for the female, but the male is included as well. And when we consider that, it's very powerful for us to be thinking about that. A virgin, of course, is one who has not been with anyone else in a sexual way. So here he's talking about virgins. He says, I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. Now, the reason why I wanted to start there is because of 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 12, that here Paul tells Timothy that Jesus counted him worthy, counted him faithful, putting him in the ministry. So here, Paul, a faithful one, talking to those who are virgins, those who have not been with anyone in a sexual way. And as he is talking this way, he says in verse number 26, I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress. There were some things that was going on that we really don't have a lot of background on, but there were some things that were distressful to the people of God. And here we see, he says, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. He says, are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loose, meaning don't seek to be loose from a wife. Are you loose from a wife, meaning you don't have a wife? Then don't be seeking one. At least at this particular time, don't be doing this. But then notice what he says in verse 28. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. The idea here seems as if that the present distress is causing a problem that even those who are married are going to be separated for some reason. So we see some things going on that are worthy for us to be considering. But notice what he says, verse 30. Those who weep as though they did not weep, those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, those who buy as though they did not possess, and those who use this world as not using or misusing it. For the form of this world is passing away, but I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried, now notice the language here. He who is single, he who is unmarried, cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. Now, friends, did you hear that? Did you read that with me? And the reason why is because I want us to keep in mind that I believe what Paul is truly saying is be focused. There's a situation going on, whether you're married or not married, be focused. Be focused upon the Lord. But here we understand that the single individual must be focused upon the Lord and focus on holiness and focus on the mind. When we consider this great text here, the Apostle Paul in verse number 32, he is encouraging the singles. Notice verse 32. But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord. I want us to consider some things as singles. I've been single. All y'all have been single. or are still single, or married and are now single. It's interesting that everyone starts in a single state, not being married. The focal point is to be in care of those things of the Lord, to be focused upon God himself and how he may please the Lord. Now, consider the text there. He cares for the things of the Lord. Well, what does the Lord want us to be focused upon? As Christians, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33, the kingdom of God, the gospel, seeking first the kingdom, doing those things that are spiritual, to be walking according to the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. When one is focused as a single individual, then they are focused upon the Lord and how they may please God. But in verse number 34, we see there's a difference. And the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, said there's a difference between one who is married and one who is single, a virgin. Can I say this? Do we live in times today where many don't make that distinction? We have unmarried people acting as if they're married. And we have married people acting as if they're single. The more I considered this, I considered the confusion of the world that we live in. And sometimes even in the church, just as confused. It's frustrating to me when I see someone who is single acting as if they're married, or a boyfriend treating their girlfriend as if that's their wife. One becomes a wife when a commitment is made. Amen. When a ring is put on the finger. We have days and times where people call their live-in, well, that's my wife, that's my husband. But if a commitment hasn't been made before God, that's false. Friends, we have to be careful not to have that type of mentality. God is all about ideas. He's all about thoughts. He himself is thought. He himself is mind. And the Apostle Paul, as he's inspired by the Holy Spirit, is putting a thought into the minds of the Corinthians. And he says there's a difference between the married and the unmarried. Can you imagine reading that, hearing that, and that thought comes to mind? That there's a difference between someone who is married and someone who is single. Oh, the church needs to continue to hear that. Because if we're not careful, we'll begin to mix the two. And friends, there's no mixing of those. There are great benefits to being single, just as there are great benefits to being married. And friends, let me go ahead and say this. It's not just in the sexual realm, but it's getting to know one another as God will have you to get to know one another. Two souls coming together. But if you're single, oh, your soul is attached to the soul of God. Friends, did you hear that? Brethren, did you hear that? Singles, did you hear that? Look at verse 32 again. I don't want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord. Notice the attachment, the cares. How he may please the Lord. Notice the attachment, the pleasing. Notice the attachment. That whatever God says, whatever God wants me to do, that's what I want to do as a single, as one who is single. But notice verse 35. In verse number 35, and this I say for your own benefit, your own profit, not that I want to put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord. Now notice the language here. Without distraction. Is the Apostle Paul saying marriage is a distraction? Is he saying that's a bad thing? I don't believe so. But I do believe he's saying that when one is single, they can focus all of their attention upon the Lord. Because when you're married, it's about how to please your spouse. But when you're single, at least according to the pure pattern, it's about you and the Lord. Friends, are you listening? Y'all look at me. You listening? I got people looking down, looking around. I know we all listen differently, but are you listening? If you're single, you are in one of the best positions in life. You can do so much for the Lord. I believe that when you consider the Apostle Paul's life and you consider the Apostle Peter's life, Peter was married. We know he was married. He was an elder in the Lord's church. The Apostle Paul was single. He was able to go to and fro from different places, hop on a ship. And he did so much for the Lord being single. Oh, yes. Paul was not only inspired, but he had the experience, if you will, to be able to do this without distraction. I don't believe Paul is saying that marriage is a distraction, but he is saying that you have to focus upon your spouse and the things of this world. Yet people want to play married. But you can't. Because one thing that God doesn't do is play marriage. What do we mean by that? The very fact that Christ is married to the church and the church is married to the Christ, there's no plan on both sides. They're both serious about this relationship, this covenant, if you will. Well, we have more to say about that, just not today. The focus should be upon making sure that we are being conformed to the image of Christ. How? Look at verse 34. This is the how. There's a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried cares about the things of the Lord. Here it is. That she may be holy. This is the how. Where? Both in body and in spirit. That's the mind. That's the conscience. That's the will. That's the soul. Turn your Bibles to the second book of Corinthians, chapter 7. In the book, second book of Corinthians, chapter 7, the context is leaving those things that are idolatrous. There are many idols in this world today. I do want to say this. Appreciate y'all coming to Bible class. 97 here this morning. Powerful. Great lesson by Brother Royce Williamson. Powerful lesson today. I think you'll get a context of what we talked about, what I'm about to say here. Notice verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, what promise? What promises? That if you come out from among them, chapter 6, verse 17, be separate. Don't touch the unclean. He says, I'll receive you. That's a promise. I'll be a father, verse number 18. That's a promise. I'll be your father. You'll be my sons and daughters. That's a promise. He says, therefore, having these promises, and friends, I don't know what I can say to get you to think and to get you to take in the seed, the idea, the thought that God being our father is such a bountiful blessing. Amen. I'll go on record. My biological father wasn't in my life. My stepfather was. I appreciate that. But when I obeyed the gospel, and I knew that God the Father would never leave me, according to Hebrews 13 and verse number 5, Jesus would never leave me. Friends, that's rock solid. That's not going nowhere. That's a father. That's a promise. And friends, we stop and we consider what the Apostle Paul is saying. Notice what he says in verse 1 again. Beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from what, Paul? From all filthiness. Now, in order for us to really appreciate this passage and really allow it to ground us, we can't fall prey to Isaiah 5, verse number 20. Woe to him who called good evil, evil good. Because if we do, we'll call that which is not filthy, filthy, and that which is filthy, not filthy. So we have to be careful to make sure that we identify filthiness as God would identify the filthiness. Hence, be careful, friends, about what you look at online. There are some filthy things online. There's pornography online. There's lewdness online. There's unchaste handling of males and females, which is dirty dancing online. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. There are some things that's in our music that causes filthy thoughts. And those filthy thoughts, one day, if they grow, according to James chapter 1, will put you in a position to sin, not only against God, but against your own body. Be careful. So you got to put away the filthiness of the flesh. But notice what he goes on to say. And spirit. Now, friends, I want us to consider this before we go any further. Why is this important as a single? Whether a person is young and single, whether a person is older and single, it doesn't matter. Righteousness is righteousness. And righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Our nation, for some reason, is engulfing themselves in the filthy. But keep in mind, friends, the beauty of the Church of Christ is to be the moral culture in the midst of an immoral world. Amen. That's our job. Our job is to demonstrate to the world that we can keep ourselves from that which is filthy by applying the Word of God to our lives in a very precise way. So he says to himself, he says to the church at Corinth, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Now notice the word perfecting. The idea there is ongoing. It is something that is a process. And this is where the older have to be careful with the younger and to allow them to complete the process. Philippians 1 and verse number 6. And it takes time because we don't know what people have gone through. We don't know what young people have been exposed to in their earlier years that has caused them to not be as pure as possible. Amen. So we work with people. We help people. We purify our souls in obedience to the truth. But notice what he goes on to say. In holiness, in the reverence or the fear of God. Now, why is this important? It's important because as singles, especially in the Lord's church, friends, you have a responsibility to shine as lights in the midst of a crooked, perverse generation. Philippians 2 and verse 15. Which means that in order for us as the people of God, especially singles, to be righteous, to arise out of sleep and to wake unto righteousness, you have to make up your mind that you're going to be pure in your thoughts. You're going to be pure in your mind. You're going to be pure in your soul. You're going to be pure in your will. You're also going to be pure in your motives. Amen. And friends, one of the most difficult things to do is to purify your motive. It is possible to do the right thing for the wrong reason, Pope Joy. It's very possible. Yet, it is possible to do the wrong thing. But you can't do the wrong thing without thinking the wrong thing. But sometimes it's based upon ignorance. And we have to be mindful of that as well. So, let's talk about a few people that I want us to consider. Turn to Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, let's introduce one character real quick. I believe it's Acts chapter 4. And look at verse 36. Let's introduce him. Come across a man by the name of Barnabas. There's a lot to be said about this great man. I believe that this man was single, according to my studies. If someone finds something different, please let me know. But this is what I've concluded thus far. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus. Now, notice, friends, this man here was labeled as the son of encouragement by the apostles. The reason why I bring him up is because this single man did some great and powerful things for God. He was in a position to do powerful things. Well, Brother Bonner, why are you coming from this particular vantage point? Because sometimes we think as singles, well, what can I do? You can do a lot. As a matter of fact, the church is relying upon you to do much for the Lord. And the reason why is because you got the time to do it. I know we live in a time today where people are so focused on other things such as their education and making money and things of that nature. And those things are good, but that's not the focal point. The focal point is righteousness. The focal point is doing the very will of God. In Acts chapter 9 and verse number 27 and following, remember Saul had just obeyed the gospel and now he needed someone that was going to vouch for him. Guess who was there? Guess who that person was? It was Barnabas. He stood up for that which was right. Young people, singles, whether young or old, stand up for people who are standing up for the gospel. This man needed somebody to vouch for him. And that's exactly what took place in his life. Turn to Acts chapter 11. Look at verse 22 through 24. Here, this great man of God, single, young, if you will, in verses 22 through verse number 24, we noticed something about this great man, Barnabas. Then news of the things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, let me make a quick point here. Do you know that you can see the grace of God? The grace of God can be seen. Why? Because it has to be taught, Titus 2 and verse number 11. And notice what he goes on to say. He was glad and encourage them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, meaning he was full of the word, and of faith, meaning he was convicted. He had God's will and word in his heart, and no one was moving him. Hold on, he was single. Guess what, friends? Because you are single, you ought to have time to read the word of God. Because you're single, you ought to have time to meditate upon the word of God. But sometimes we put too many people in our lives that distract us. This here, this man was a powerful man. But then notice in Acts chapter 15, real quick. In Acts chapter 15, verses 2 through verse number 5, go back and read it. This man stood with the apostle Paul against those Judaizing teachers, the religious rulers of this particular day. And he stood toe to toe with the apostle Paul against them. Guess what single people can do as well? You can stand for the truth. But in order to stand for the truth, you got to know it. You got to be studying it. But then you drop down to verse number 36 to 41. And the same one who he stood with, Barnabas, young man, single. Now he had to stand up against Paul, against for a situation that was opinionated. Young people, singles, please get this point. We need you. The church needs you to be faithful to God, to be spiritual. Why? You got the time to do it. Turn to Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 43, we come across a woman by Dorcas. The Bible demonstrates to us that this great woman, most likely a widow, most likely, according to verse number 39, definitely a worker of the Lord. Bible teaches us that she had great good works of encouragement. She had charitable deeds, verse number 36. Brother Bonner, what are you teaching us? What are you trying to get us to see? What idea are you planting in our minds that we may demonstrate faith toward God, conviction toward God? And it doesn't matter how old you are. And it doesn't matter what transpires in your life. Whether you're single like Barnabas, seemingly no wife, no children, or a widow possibly like Dorcas, lost her husband, you keep working for God. That's righteous. That's what's right. Do that which is right. Why? Because God is well pleased with that. Look at verse 36 real quick. Verse 36. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works, charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick. She died. And when they had washed her, now notice the care that they had for her. They washed her. They laid up in the upper room. Notice the respect there. And since Lydia was
near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there. They sent two men to him, begging him, imploring him to come, and don't delay. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by, and they were crying. Notice the endearment there, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out, knelt down, and prayed. He learned that from his Lord. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. She opened up her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand. He lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. Let me say this, that your consistency and persistency as widows and widowers, as single individuals, your lifestyle ought to depict a life that people ought to be able to see your life and say, I want to be like that, because you're strong and you're staying with God and you're not allowing those things to take you off the beaten path. I don't know what I'm going to do with this when this woman of mine dies. But I do know this. I got to be faithful to God. And I'm going to need my kids to help me be faithful to God. And the vice versa is still true. And there's nothing insensitive about that. Because it's appointed on a man once to die, and after death, the judgment is going to happen. Or Jesus comes back first. And sometimes people, and the people of God sometimes, we're not focused as we need to be focused. And so what happens when our loved one dies? It seems like we die with them. But no, we keep going. We keep pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I often tell my wife, I say, when you die, I'm going to get that check and go on a gospel meeting tour. But in all seriousness, and she's never heard me say this, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I got to stay faithful. Because I didn't get in this to be married. Not to her. I got in this to be married to Christ. That's where my allegiance is. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Look at this. 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm sorry. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We notice some things about Peter. I'm sorry, Timothy. Timothy, Christian single, most likely. And I got to put most likely because you always going to have those. Well, you can't prove that. Well, most likely. I can prove that. Verses 3 through 12, we notice something about this great man of God. He's encouraged to do some things. Verses 3 through 5, he's encouraged to withdraw from people and conversations that are useless. Guess what? This applies to all of us, but especially those who are single. Be careful about those useless conversations, because those useless conversations can end you up in bed with somebody you don't need to be in bed with. And I ain't just talking physically. I'm talking about spiritually. Watch out for useless talk. Why? Because it's going to cause trouble. Verses 6 through 10. Learn contentment. Sometimes single people, especially in the church, are so focused on getting married that they lose the focal point that you're married to Christ. You're already married. You've got to be faithful to Christ. And whether the right person comes your way or not, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you're faithful to Christ. So he says, learn contentment. The context is dealing with money. The context is dealing with your needs. Be faithful. Be focused. Notice what he says in verse 6. Godliness with contentment, great gain. Why? You brought nothing into this world. You carried nothing out, Royce Williamson. That's what you said this morning. Be careful, young people, especially in the world we live in today. Let me take my time, because we got to get this point in. Sometimes you can be so focused, young people, on getting your degree and making money that you lose focus on life itself. Be careful. If you chase money, you got to catch it one day. But if you chase God, it's interesting. He ain't running from you. Acts 17, he's not far from you. Sometimes we're chasing things. We should be chasing things. But if anything, let's use a different word. Let's pursue some things. There's a difference between chasing and pursuing, if you will. But then notice what he says in verse number 11. Now remember, Timothy's a young man. Maybe in his 40s-ish. He's a single man. He has single mother and mother and grandmother. We see that in 2 Timothy chapter 1, I believe it is. But he says, but you, O man of God, three things. Flee these things, those things that he just talked about. And then he says, follow or pursue righteousness. That's the second thing. Godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. And then the third thing, he says, fight. Three things. Flee some things, follow some things, and fight for some things. Sometimes we're so focused on our own will, we can't do the will of God. And so Paul is telling Timothy, hey, you're a preacher of the gospel. You're a righteous man. And I need you to realize, now I love the language that he used with Timothy, friends. And friends, words mean something. This is why, parents, watch what you say to your children. Words mean something. Notice what he called Timothy in verse number 11. 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 11. I'm almost finished for the old y'all who are getting impatient. He says, but you, O man of God. Now think about that language there. When someone is called a man of God or a woman of God and they're single, like, hold on, I am a man of God. I do follow God. But if I don't follow God, don't call yourself one and don't let other people call you that. Because that's an honor. Just like it's an honor to be a wife. That's the best position you can be in as a woman with a man in your life. But we live in a time today where people are not honoring marriage. We live in a time where people are not honoring being single. And so here Paul, he tells Timothy, but you, O man of God, flee these things. Why? Because men of God don't follow those type of things. They follow righteousness and godliness and trust and love and patience and gentleness. And they fight the good fight of faith. And they lay hold on eternal life. Why? Because that's what life is about. Brian Braswell, that's what life is about. Friends, this is what life is about. So just a couple examples in the lesson to be yours. Righteousness and singlehood is so powerful that the married need to help them to realize the power of it. And that we need you. You're single, enjoy your singlehood. There are some people who were single because of the loss of a loved one. Abraham, Genesis 23, lost his wife. Jacob lost the love of his life in Genesis 35. Remember Rachel? He worked hard for that woman. And in childbirth, she dies. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what he went through? I love this woman. I gave my heart to this woman. She's carrying my son. And now she's dying. The spirit left her. You know what? It's interesting. You have some individuals, preachers, saying that the soul is not really in the body. Well, the soul remains in the body at death. It's interesting that the Bible teaches us that when Rachel was giving birth to her son, that the spirit, her soul, left her body. It's Bible. Foolishness being taught in San Antonio, Texas. The widow lost her husband in Elijah's time, 1 Kings 17. Naomi lost her husband and her sons, yet because of her single, bereaved daughter-in-law kept her faith and relied upon God. They worked together. And guess what? They're in the lineage of Christ. Don't tell me single people are not important. Yes, they are. Singlehood. It can happen to any one of us. But if you're a Christian and your spouse dies and you want to remarry, fine. Romans 7, 1, 2, and 3. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 39. Marry in the Lord. Marry someone that loves the Lord. Marry someone who is honorable to the Lord and want to give their life to the Lord and be faithful to the Lord. Let me talk about some single people that you know very well. The first one I want to talk about is Jesus. Never got married. Acts 10:38, went about doing good. He was single. Guess what Jesus did, y'all? He changed the world by giving his life. He obeyed his Father, which was in heaven. He saved man from their sins. Don't tell me single people can't do good things for the Lord. He did. He was single. Abel, most likely single, according to Hebrews 11 and verse number 4, worshiped God with true faith. Even to the point that the Bible demonstrates to us that though he is dead, his blood still speaks. Friends, why is this important? It's important because sometimes as singles, we don't think that there's nothing that we can do. But there's a lot for you to do. Sometimes people are single because of the kingdom of God's sake, according to Matthew 19:12. They're made eunuchs for the kingdom of God. Meaning that they realize that the life, the marriage at the end is not good. It's not right. So in order to be right with God, they sever. Why? Because going to heaven is more important than being married. Please hear me. If we don't hear well done, whatever we've done down here means absolutely nothing. We want to hear well done. Thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord, or the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're married, great. If you're single, great. Be focused. Do God's will. And be righteous. Well, Brother Bono, what happens if I mess up? Be righteous and repent. Be righteous and confess your fault. And God says he's faithful and just to forgive you. God said that. That's the God that we serve. Maybe you're not a child of God. And the things that you have heard are convicting because of the evidence. We want you to consider. We want you to consider being a Christian, a follower of Christ, that you one day will become a fisher of men by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, by repenting of past sins, confessing Jesus Christ to be Lord, and being buried in water for the remission of your sins. But maybe you're a child of God and, well, you just haven't been a good single. You know, we can make those things right. And that's the power of the gospel. And we don't have to remain in states that separate us from God. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters freely. God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. As we stand and as we sing the glorious invitation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.